الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, every time you hear a bayan in Fazani Madina in an ijtima of Dawat Islami, you will hear right at the beginning the excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi, sending salutations on the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for everything there is a purifier, and the means to purify the heart from rust, from the rest of sins, is sending salat upon me, sending salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this heart of ours, we learn, accumulates rust. When we sin, a black dot is placed on the heart. And if we don't repent and continue sinning, more black dots accumulate on our heart. How do we polish our heart? How do we cleanse and purify our heart? In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam told us, the way to purify your hearts from rust is to send salat upon me. So inshallah, make an intention to remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recite salat upon him, and inshallah your heart will illuminate. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We believe in the Quran. We love the Quran. We respect the Quran. And to understand this, let me give you an example. If you find a Muslim, a believer, who is not practicing, he doesn't practice the deen at all. Unfortunately, he doesn't pray, he doesn't do anything good, he may not even offer Jumu'ah Salah, maybe not even Eid Salah, but he's a believer in Allah and His Messenger, and he believes in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. If he were to drop the Quran from his hands by mistake, by accident, he will feel restless, that what have I done? The Quran slipped out of my hands, it fell to the ground. After all, this is no ordinary book. This is no ordinary speech. This is the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here there is an issue. When we recite the Quran, how many of us can say we recite it according to the way it was revealed? Remember, the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. The Quran was not revealed in English, was not revealed in any other language. It was revealed in the Arabic language. And we know it's in Arabic. Now the problem is, if we're reciting the Quran, but we're reciting it incorrectly, then me and you should ask ourselves, what benefit will we gain from reciting Al-Quran incorrectly? And this is not something that we should be stubborn about. I can't go to someone and ask him to test me to see if I read the Quran correctly. That will be embarrassing. What greater embarrassment could there be than on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects a person's recitation of the Quran for his entire life because he recited incorrectly. Remember, this Arabic language is a very delicate language, sensitive. If you change the letter, the whole meaning can change. A few examples. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Qul. The letter qaf with the two dots on top. This is pronounced with the full mouth. It's pronounced in a thick tone of voice. Instead of saying qul, if somebody just says the normal kaf, qul, he's changed the meaning. Qul. This means say. And qul, this means eat. Look at the vast difference in meaning. And people shouldn't please themselves or satisfy themselves by saying Allah Ta'ala will forgive, He is most merciful. But if you're not learning to recite Quran properly, then we shouldn't make such claims. Because we've got time for everything else. We've got time for going on outings, going for a meal, planning trips, going abroad. But if you haven't got time for something, it's learning how to recite the Quran correctly. Similarly, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamd, the letter Ha. This is pronounced from the middle of the throat. And if somebody, instead of pronouncing Ha, pronounce it as Ha, Alhamdu, again the meaning would change. So the language of Arabic is very complex. We're not Arabs. Majority of us are not Arabs. We're Ajamis. We're non-Arabs. So we must learn to recite the Quran. And we should never ever shy away from having someone test us. Go to the Qari Sahib, go to the Imam Sahib and say, can I recite whatever I recite in Namaz, Surah Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas, or whatever I recite, Ayatul Kursi before I sleep, whatever I recite, can I read it to you? Can you test me? We should never be ashamed in being tested. And if there are mistakes, Alhamdulillah, we've managed to find out those mistakes and then we can rectify them. Being scared of making a mistake and continuously reading whilst making a mistake is foolishness. It's the height of foolishness. That I don't want to make the Imam Sahib test me so he can take out my mistakes, but I'll continue reciting Namaz wrong. I'll continue reciting Quran wrong. It's a travesty. So, learning the Quran, reading the Quran, means we read it properly. Correct articulation. We know about each letter of the Arabic alphabet, where to pronounce it from in the mouth. It's something that we have to learn. So if you don't give time for this, then we can be liable on the Day of Judgment in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, you could be changing the meanings. The hadith tells us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most truthful in creation, said, look at the wordings. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are many reciters of the Quran whom the Quran curses. We think, whoa, the Quran curses people who recite it? Which people is this referring to? Those who recite the Quran incorrectly. So make sure you read the Quran. But what's most important is reading it properly, correctly, according to tajweed, according to the correct pronunciation, articulation, knowing about the origins of the letters, the makharij. This is very, very important. Also, what we do is we read the Quran, but we also try and understand the Quran. We try to comprehend the Quran. Tafaqquh, understanding is what's needed. Purchase a tafsir of the Quran. Purchase translation of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has publishing departments, bookshops known as Maktabatul Madina. If you go to any Maktabatul Madina, you will find authentic translations of the Quran in English, your mother tongue. You will find a tafsir of the Quran, commentary in light of what the great ulama mufassirun have said. We can't interpret the Quran ourselves. We can't do that. But when we read what Imam Qurtubi says, what Imam Suyuti says, what Imam Razi says, then we know we are reading something authentic, because these are imams of the ummah. Our brothers are always asking, where can I read a brief commentary of the Quran in English, in my own language? So then a team was put together of 5 to 7 translators, including many scholars. For several years, they worked on this tafsir, the clear criterion, translating it, cross-referencing, looking at the Arabic tafsir, painstaking. Took a lot of time, a lot of effort. Different lexicologies were opened up. What's the best way to interpret this word? Remember, not everybody can translate the Quran. In fact, the ulama have said, to write a tafsir of the Quran, you have to be an expert in over 20 sciences. Right at the top of the list, Arabic grammar, sarf, nahw, balagha, and then there are other sciences as well. Several years it took them. All of that effort was put in. Then it was published. Then it came here to our bookshop, in our city, in our locality. Meaning we go past the bookshop outside all the time. How many of us have popped in and seen what books that are available there? This investment that you'll make in purchasing the clear criterion, the tafsir of the Quran, is one of the best investments you can ever make. So this was something else that's required of us to understand the Quran. And let me give you a world example. If somebody wrote letters to you, addressed to you with your name on it, sent you letters, and each time you received that letter, you just kissed that letter, placed it at an elevated place, and never opened it. Never had the ability to open it, to understand what is mentioned in that letter. Do you think the person who wrote it will be pleased with you? And over the years, you've gathered so many letters, you don't know what they contain. What's the subject matter? Bila tashbih, without comparison. Al-Quran al-Kareem is there in our homes. We kiss it, place it on our eyes. We place it at an elevated place. We respect it. We make sure not to turn our back towards it. If somebody's on the floor sitting, we sit down if they've got the Quran in their hands. We don't disrespect the Quran. But how many of us read it with understanding? So this is very, very necessary as well. This is what's required of us. And this is the intention we should make, that Ya Allah, I will now form a stronger relationship with Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And how will I do that? I will recite the Quran, I will understand the Quran as well. I will understand the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. What else? You have iman bil Quran, you read the Quran, you understand the Quran. What's required of you now? To act upon the Quran. To act upon the Quran, whatever the Quran has said is lawful, you fulfill that. Whatever the Quran has prohibited, you leave that. Nowadays, it's not hidden from anyone. There are people who are not even Muslims, but they have a greater understanding of the Quran because they study it for the wrong reasons, many of them. They study it to try and find fault in the Quran, and to find fault in the religion of Islam. They will never find fault. But what I'm trying to say is they read the Quran, they study the Quran, they don't act upon it. We as Muslims, what's our distinguished feature, distinct quality, is that we read the Quran, we understand the Quran, and then we do amal bil Quran, we act upon the Quran as well. And that is how, in the past, Muslim traders, when they would go on their journeys, the Silk Route is famous in this regard if you studied history, when Muslims would travel to do tijara, they would meet disbelievers, non-Muslims. And because of their character, because of their a'mali saliha, because of their beautiful qualities, attributes, those non-Muslims would become so impressed and enter Islam. Because Muslims would act upon the Quran. Muslims didn't deceive when doing trade. They didn't lie. They didn't usurp the other person's wealth. And today, the complete opposite. Let alone with a non-Muslim, Muslims are deceiving Muslims. Muslims are cheating Muslims, their own fellow Muslim brothers. And then we complain, why is this happening? Why are people attacking us left, right, center? And we have to ask ourselves, is it because of my own amal? Sayyi'at, because of my own bad deeds, because of my own sins? Today, we don't have that same honor that Muslims of the past had. And in the past, Muslim leaders' names would be mentioned, and non-Muslims would tremble. Muslims were at their peak, subhanAllah, and today it's the opposite. So we have to attach ourselves to Al-Quranul Kareem. We have to understand it, we have to read it, and more importantly, we have to do amal upon the Quran as well. That somebody looking at us should be able to tell from our mannerism, our character, that this person is amil bil Quran. He may be a hamilul Quran, someone who carries the Quran in his heart, but more importantly, he is amilul Quran. He acts upon Quran as well. So we have iman bil Quran. We have tilawatul Quran, qira'atul Quran. We have understanding of the Quran. We just touched upon it, acting upon the Quran. And what else is required of us? And how do we give an answer, a formidable answer to those enemies of Islam who hurt our feelings, hurt our hearts? We propagate the teachings of the Quran. We spread this Quran. We love this Quran more than our lives. We spread it. How do we spread it? It's not necessary for you to have £1 million and then you will buy £1 million worth of Qurans and then spread it. That's not the only way you can propagate the Quran, the teachings of the Quran. There's so many other ways. I'll give you a few examples. Firstly, we know from ahadith that somebody who memorizes the Quran, Islam gives that person great significance. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a hafidhul Quran, and not just a hafidhul Quran, one who acts upon the Quran as well, he has such a maqam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day of judgment, his parents will be made to wear a crown, and the luminosity of that crown, the light, the brightness will be brighter than the sun. And he'll be asked, how have we been honored in this way? And it'll be said, because of your son's memorization of the Quran, because of your son's reading the Quran. This is the overview of the hadith. Now all of us desire our sons, daughters, to become doctors and gain proficiency in this field or that field, become super wealthy, renowned in their field. But how many of us have the true sincere intention of helping to preserve the Quran by making our sons and daughters huffaz of the Quran? How many of us have a true intention? Sincere intention. The reason why I mention that is because insan, we make many mistakes, we falter. Even when doing a good act, the intention may be bad behind it. We can't say that for sure regarding someone, that his intention is wrong, but it could be wrong. For example, somebody wants his child to memorize the Quran because his first cousin has memorized it, or someone else in the family has memorized it, and now he wants to be on the same level, on a par. He also wants to hold a party. He also wants to show people that my son's a hafiz. That's a wrong intention. If it's with this intention to encourage other people, alhamdulillah, Allah has honored me, I used to take my child to the madrasa for several years, he's become a hafiz, you should also make your children into huffaz. Not only huffaz who memorize the words of the Quran, but who internalize those words and who act upon it as well. And when you see them, you know this person has the Quran in his heart. This person, he acts upon the Quran. Otherwise, merely reciting the Quran without amal can lead a person to a lot of harm. And we know about, in Sahih Muslim, a lengthy hadith, I'll just give the overview, that on the Day of Judgment, from the first people who will be judged, one will be someone who recited the Quran in abundance. Allah Ta'ala will make him remember the favors of Allah upon him. And he will say, I recited the Quran day and night, I did it for your sake, Ya Allah. And it will be said, no, you didn't do it for me. You did it so that people praise you, and they did. You've been recompensed in the world, there's nothing for you here today. The words of the hadith of that person who recited the Quran throughout his life will be thrown into the fire of hell. So intention is very, very important. All of us right now, those who have children in particular, should make a sincere intention If Allah has honored us with children, Ya Allah, I will participate in preserving Al-Qur'anul Kareem by making my children, or at least one child, a hafiz of the Qur'an. This is the intention we should make. And that Qur'an hafiz child will be a means for your honor on the Day of Judgment. This life is very short. If you yourselves indirectly discourage your children from learning Qur'an, then you will suffer the consequences of that. If you only give this mindset that, son, if you memorize the Qur'an, if you become an imam, if you become a madrasa teacher, what are you going to attain? You won't be able to get a house, you won't be able to do this. I've seen people, they suffer, they do this, they do that. This is us indirectly, some would say directly, discouraging your children from learning the Qur'an. And we should never be amongst those. In fact, we should give the mindset that through the barakah of the Qur'an, reading the Qur'an, acting upon the Qur'an, inshallah, you will attain blessings in both worlds. This is what we should be telling our children. How else can we propagate the teachings of the Qur'an? We can support those who are learning to memorize the Qur'an, who are teaching the Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best person amongst you. Who is saying this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most truthful in Allah's creation. He is saying the best person amongst you is he who learns the Qur'an and then teaches it. Nothing else, no one else was mentioned. Who was mentioned, who was singled out? Those who learn the Qur'an and teach the Qur'an. So if we know people in our locality, Alhamdulillah, Da'wat Islami has Madrasatul Madina here. People are learning to read the Qur'an correctly with tajweed. People are memorizing the Qur'an. The teachers come here, make an effort every day. If we can't ourselves learn it, then at least support those who are teaching others who are learning themselves. Contribute financially. And this is also one way of you propagating the teachings of the Qur'an, propagating the Qur'an, spreading the Qur'an. Because if you've helped that particular madrasa, that idara, that institute, they produce huffaz, they produce people who recite the Qur'an beautifully. Inshallah, for as long as they read the Qur'an, you will be rewarded for it also. This is another way to propagate the Qur'an. And as mentioned earlier, buy the tafaseer, buy it for your own homes. When you leave today, the clear criterion is available in the bookshop outside. Kanzul Iman is available in the bookshop outside. Buy it for yourselves, buy it for others as well. Gift them a tafsir of the Qur'an, a translation of the Qur'an. Every time they read the Qur'an, not only are you spreading the Qur'an, but you'll be rewarded as well for every harf, every letter that they read. So this is how we uphold the honor of the Qur'an in light of recent events, in light of what happened. Over a billion Muslims across the globe, they were disheartened by the acts, by these crimes. But how do we respond? This is how we respond, with wisdom. We increase our recitation of the Qur'an. We increase our amal bil Qur'an. We increase our participation in spreading the teachings of the Qur'an, propagating the teachings of the Qur'an. This is how we do it. And this is what Islam requires of us. That Allah Ta'ala knows our a'mal. Allah Ta'ala knows our intentions. And right now, if we are hurting, and we have this intention that, Ya Allah, I want to serve the Qur'an, I want to help the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala will assist you. Inshallah Ta'ala, these were a few words in regards to preserving the honor of the Qur'an in light of what happened. We should pray to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that as long as we live, as long as we breathe, that we do khidmat of the Qur'an, that we serve the Qur'an, we learn the Qur'an, we help those who learn the Qur'an, we spread the Qur'an. And inshallah Al-Aziz, this amal of ours will have great weight on the Day of Judgment when the a'mal await. Develop a strong attachment to the Qur'an, a strong connection to the Qur'an, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said and enable all of us to implement it in our lives. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Calling upon you, Allah.